Hello and welcome back. My name is Rabbi Avi Heller, and together we're learning Masechet Megillah. This series of recordings is a project of the OU Department of Synagogue Services, OU Torah, and the Daf HaShavua Foundation. We are at the bottom of Daf Tet Vav Amud Aleph, 15a. We're not all the way at the bottom. We are in the skinny lines, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12, 13 lines up in the skinny lines at the end of the line. And we are continuing the darshaning of all the verses of the Megillah, or most of the verses of the Megillah. So we're up to the section in the Megillah where Esther appears before Ahasuerus. So they've been fasting for 3 days, and then it says, Vayihi bayom hashlishi, on the third day, Vatilbash Esther Malchut, and Esther wore kingship. Now we already have seen this teaching. We encountered this teaching already on the previous daf, but it was in a different context where we were talking about the different Niviot, and we use this as a proof that Esther was a prophetess. Here it's in the context of darshaning the Psukim in the Megillah. So it says, Bigdei Malchut mi Baile. It should have said that Esther wore the clothes of kingship rather than kingship itself. Amar Rebbe Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rebbe Elazar is the name of Rabbi Chanina. Melameit shelevashta ruach hakodesh. That what she really wore was not clothes, but that she wore the Holy Spirit. She was enrobed in divine inspiration. Now that is the first teaching that we have from Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina. We're now going to have six more, so there's going to be a total of seven teachings in the name of Rabbi Elazar, in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Some of them are about Purim and the Megillah, and some are not. Oh, we have to finish this teaching in the middle. In the meantime, it says, K'tiv hacha vatilbash. Here it writes that Esther was enrobed. Uch'tiv hatam, and it writes in Divrei Yamim, V'ruach lavshat Amasai, that the Spirit enveloped Amasai, and he prophesied about David. We saw that in the daf before. This is the second teaching now. V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Elazar said the name of Rabbi Chanina. Le'olam al tihi birkat hediot kala be'inecha. This is one of my favorite Talmudic teachings of all time. It says, never let the blessing of a simple person be light in your eyes. You might say that only a very important person or a holy man or a great rabbi can give you a bracha, but any person who gives you a bracha, no matter how simple they are, you should not discount it. Shahare shnei gdolei hador berchum shnei hedyotot. There were two of the greatest men of a generation who were blessed by two simple people, v'nitkaima behen, and their blessings came true. Ve'eluhein, and these are they, David v'Daniel. David, obviously David the king, King David, and Daniel, who we've spoken about, who was a great advisor, prophet, and holy man. They were both blessed by simple people, and the blessings came true. Here are the examples. David de Barche Arvana. David was blessed by a simple landowner whose name was Arvana. There was a plague going on among the Jewish people, and Gad HaChose, David's prophet, told him that God's advice was that he should buy Arvana's granary, an area of his field, and build an altar to Hashem there. And David went to ask Arvana to build it for him, to sell it to him, sell him the land. And Arvana was extremely gracious. In fact, he wanted to give it to him for free, and he was extremely gracious to David. And one of the things he said to him, Dichtiv, Yomer Arvana el HaMelech. Arvana said to the king, and what he said actually is not in the text of the Gemara, but if you look in the footnote, he quotes it in the Gosa Bach. What he said in the Pasuk was, Hashem Elokecha Yirtzecha, Hashem your God should fulfill your wishes. And in fact, we saw that immediately afterwards, the plague ceased. So the Gemara is saying that Arvana's blessing, that Hashem should listen to what David's request was answered. Daniel, the Barche Daryavish. Daniel was blessed by Darius, the king. Now, I'm not sure why it calls Darius here a hedyot. After all, he was a king. So it's hard to say he was just a hedyot. He wasn't just a simple person. He wasn't a Jewish person, but he was not a simple person. But I don't know. Dichtiv, as it's written, this is in the book of Daniel. And actually, Daniel is about to be thrown into the lion's den, and Darius doesn't want him, the king doesn't want him to be thrown into the lion's den, but there's no way he can stop it from happening because it's been written into the laws, so he gives him a blessing, and he says, Elahach, your God, the ant palachle betadira, who you are always worshiping, you're always davening to him, who yeshezvinach, he should save you. And in fact, as we know, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and none of the lions harmed him. So the blessing of Darius was was realized in Daniel as well. So he says, you never take the blessing of simple people for granted. And on the other hand, V'amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina. Now this is the third teaching of Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Al tehi kililat hedyot kala beinecha. Don't let the curse of a simple person be light in your eyes. Just because they're a simple person, their curse could also carry a lot of weight. Shahare Avimelech kilel et Sarah. For Avimelech actually cursed Sarah. This is a little bit of a confusing and a very obscure verse. Most people don't pay close attention to it. Of course, Avram and Sarah had said that they were brother and sister rather than husband and wife, and so Avimelech had taken Sarah into his harem. But Hashem told him not to touch Sarah because she was a married woman, and after he realized what had happened, he gave Avraham gifts, and he sent them away with great honor. But here's what he says to Sarah, which is kind of a rebuke. I don't know if it's a curse, but it is kind of a rebuke. He says, Hinehu lecha ksut einayim. Let this gift that I've given to your husband be for you a covering for your eyes. And it says afterwards for Sarah, v'nochachat, that she received the tochacha. There was a certain tochacha that he said something about covering her eyes in the way that she had deceived him in his eyes, that she should be deceived. It's not clear exactly what's going on in this verse, but the Gemara understands it to mean that to have something to do with blindness. So it says, "Vinit kayem bizara." In her children, this curse was realized because vayhi kizacheg Yitzchak, when Yitzchak became old, vatichena einav mirot, he was no longer able to see, he became blind in his old age. The Gemara says that was a result of Avimelech's curse of blindness to Sarah way back when. Now here's the fourth teaching: V'amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Chanina. And that's, by the way, the only example that it gives. It doesn't give more than one example. But okay, v'amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Chanina, bo ur'e shelo k'midat hakadosh baruch hu midat basar v'dam. Come and see that the way in which Hashem behaves is not the way that human beings behave. In Talmudic speak, often human beings are called basar v'dam, flesh and blood. So the Holy One is contrasted with those of flesh and blood. Midat basar v'adam, the way of behaving of human beings, adam shofet k'deira, a person puts down a pot, v'achar kach noten l'tocha mayim, and then you put the water into the pot, and if you want to boil the water in the pot, that's how you do it. That's the normal way of cooking. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the Holy One is not limited in these ways, noten mayim, he can put the water on the fire first, v'achar kach shofet k'deira, and then he can put the pot on afterwards. He can do things in a way that human beings can't. L'kayem ma'ashen amar, this fulfills the verse, which is in the 10th chapter of Yirmiyahu, that says, L'kol tito hamon mayim bashamayim, to the voice he placed a lot of water in the heavens. So the water was placed in the heavens, and then you have to read again the end of the verse. As we mentioned in our previous recording, sometimes the rabbis are referring to the part of the verse that they don't quote. So the end of the verse here is V'ya'alen nisi'im mikzeh aretz. So first he puts the water in the heavens, and only afterwards he puts the clouds. The word nisi'im, which we usually translate as princes or presidents, can also mean clouds. And so after he puts the water in the heavens, then he puts the clouds in there to catch them. So the way it's opposite, the way it is the opposite of the way that human beings do it. Okay, here's the fifth teaching of Rabbi Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina. We're five lines up from the bottom of the Amud. V'amar Rabbi Elazar Amar Rabbi Chanina, kol ha'omer davar b'shem omro, anyone who says something in the name of the person who originally said it, mevi ge'ula li'olam, it brings redemption to the world. It is a meritorious act, and it's the proper ethical thing to do, that if you're saying someone that someone else has said, that you give proper ascription to the person who originally said it. Many people are careful about this when they give Divrei Torah and other things, to always make sure that they don't say something in their own name that was originally said by one of their teachers. So he says, if you do this, you bring redemption to the world. Shenemar, as it says, Vatomer Esther Lamelech v'shem Mordechai. Esther said to the king in the name of Mordechai about the plot of Bigtan and Teresh. So in a way, the Gemara is saying that part of what made Esther worthy and the Jewish people worthy of redemption is that Esther was humble enough to say this matter in the name of Mordechai and to give it its proper ascription. It is interesting that it says maybe ge'ula le'olam. This was only ge'ula for the Jewish people. It doesn't prove for the whole world, but perhaps it is a meritorious act, so that anyone who does it is worthy of bringing redemption to the world. Okay, now the next teaching, which is the sixth teaching of Rebbe Elazar in the name of Rabbi Chanina. Avam Rebbe Elazar and Rabbi Chanina, end of the fourth line up at the bottom of the Amud. Tzadik avad, if a righteous person dies, is lost. Lidoro avad, for his generation he is lost. So this sounds like a bad thing, and it is when a tzaddik dies, but what the Gemara is saying here is that he's lost for his generation. In other words, they no longer have the benefit of having a tzaddik among them, but he's not lost to the world or forever. Mashal le'adam, we can give a parable to a certain person, she'avdolo margalit, that he lost a pearl. Kol makom shehi, no matter where it goes, margalit shema, it is still a pearl. Lo avda ela labayla, it's only been lost to the master. So the master might be sad that he lost his pearl, but whoever finds that pearl will still have a pearl. No matter where it goes, it's still a pearl. It still has its inherent value. So in some way, even though a tzaddik is lost from the generation, he still has value that goes beyond just the value that he brings to this generation. What that value is unclear. Maybe it's because he'll be brought back and when tchiyat hametim, when the dead are brought back to life, or maybe his merit goes beyond his life and all of the people that he inspired. It's hard to say for sure, but the idea here is that somehow a tzaddik has value even beyond the benefit that he brings to his generation. Two lines up from the bottom. We continue on now darshaning the psukim from the Megillah. V'chol zeh einenu shoveh li. When Haman decides that he wants to kill the Jews, one of the things that he says, and he says this to his family, is none of this matters to me. All of the honor that the king has heaped upon me, none of it matters to me every time I see Mordechai sitting at the gate. So this is the seventh teaching. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Amar Rabbi Chanina, b'sha'ah shara'a Haman et Mordechai yoshev b'shar melech. Every time Haman saw Mordechai sitting in the king's gate, Amar kol zeh einenu shoveh li. He would say, none of this matters to me. Now, what is this? How are we going to understand this? Now, there's a footnote here. We have to add in some words from the Hagos HaBach. Here's how the Hagos HaBach understands the missing words. It's first a question. V'chi mishum d'ro'em Mordechai yoshev b'shar ha'melech? Just because he saw Mordechai sitting in the king's gate, he would say, none of this matters to me? What's the connection between all the honor that's heaped upon him and what Mordechai has? Rather, it's according to Rav Chisda, the Amar of Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Zeba Piprosboli, this one, that is Mordechai, comes with a claim of wealth. Vizeba Biprosboti. Now we turn to the next Amud, Tedvav Amudbet, and this one comes with a claim of poverty. In other words, this is a teaching that for some reason they teach all the school kids, even though it's said here in a very opaque way, that Mordechai had a wealthy claim and Haman had a poor claim. What they say is there's another midrash, which is not cited here, but is cited in other places, that many years before this happened, Haman and Mordechai knew each other. And at that time, Haman was very poor. In fact, he didn't even have enough food to eat. And he sold himself as a slave. He wrote a contract to Mordechai in which he said if Mordechai would give him food, he would sell himself to Mordechai as a slave. And that sale was still existed, and Mordechai still had the claim. So Mordechai had a claim of wealth in which he, in fact, owned Haman rather than Haman owning Mordechai. So Haman was saying, everyone has to bow down to me. So Mordechai was bowing down to Haman, which is the opposite of the way it was supposed to be, because Haman really belonged to Mordechai. He was supposed to bow down to him. So what Haman realized every time he saw Mordechai is that he was a hypocrite. And that his claim, that Mordechai knew and that he knew that he was really the one who should be bowing down to Mordechai, and that angered him. That revealing of his hypocrisy every time angered him. So he wanted to get rid of Mordechai so he didn't have to think about it anymore. However, the Gemara brings another thing, which is that other people knew about it, or another possibility, which is that other people knew about it too. That it wasn't just a secret between Mordechai and Haman. Amar Rav Papa says, Vikarule, some people called him Avda de Mizdabin Bitalmi de Nahema, the servant who sold himself for a loaf of bread. In other words, there was a tradition that Haman had sold himself into slavery for the price of a loaf of bread, and they would make fun of him. So if this is the case, then perhaps Haman felt that he couldn't get away from his reputation so long as Mordechai was still sitting in the king's gate. We're just going to do a couple more lines. According to the Hagos HaBach, these lines should actually be omitted from the Gemara and taken out. But they're here, so we'll learn them, and they are relevant to what we're talking about. V'chol ze einenu shoveh li, none of this is worth anything to me. Another interpretation of this is, milamed, it comes to teach us, I'm on the third line down on Tetvav Amudet, shekol gnazav shel oto rasha chakukin alibo, that Haman had sewed or etched all of his wealth into his coat, or over his heart. He had sewed it all into the lining of his shirt. Every time he saw Mordechai sitting in the gate of the king, Amar, he would say, Kol zeh einenu shoveh li, none of this, and he would point to all of his wealth that he carried around with him. I don't know what kind of a personality he had, that he felt like he had to carry around all his wealth. I guess he didn't trust anyone, or he was afraid that he had to keep it with him at every moment in case he had to run for it. But he would point to all of his wealth sewed over his heart and say, none of this matters to me as long as Mordechai is still sitting in the Shar HaMelech. Okay, we'll stop there and continue in our next recording. Have a wonderful day.